Well, hello and welcome to our special service today, this Pentecost Sunday, a real day of celebration in the church calendar. Welcome particularly to any of you who are watching in for the first time and checking us out. You are really welcome, and please do feel part of our community as we gather to worship this morning. My name's Dave Bruce. I'm the rector of St Andrew's and All Saints Churches in Malvern. And Peter Myers, our curate, will be speaking later. Last week we heard the story of how Jesus ascended into heaven. And as he went, he said to his disciples, his friends, his followers, he said, "Wait in Jerusalem, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you to be my witnesses in the world." And we left those disciples in the upper room waiting and praying for the promised Holy Spirit. And we too have been waiting and praying as a church this week. We've been praying as part of the global Thy Kingdom Come initiative. We've been having morning prayer meetings on Zoom each day. We've had 24 hours of prayer where different members of the congregation have taken a different hour to pray for. And we've been waiting and praying, "Come Holy Spirit," praying "Thy kingdom come in our world." And so we gather today expectantly that God has heard our prayers, expectantly that God is going to meet us in a special way as we gather this morning, expecting that God will pour out his Spirit afresh on each one of us so that we too can be his witnesses. And so we come and gather this morning. Let's first pause. Let's still our hearts. Let's let go of anything that is worrying us, anything that is burdening us. Offer them to God right now. Open your heart to the Creator of the universe, for he's here, longing to meet you. And so I invite you to join in with these opening prayer and do join in with the bits in white. "Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us, wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us." And let's sing now and praise the Lord in the words of our opening song, "Great in Power."
Shining stars, praise him, you heavens and waters. waters and skies. Let the polar praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King over all the earth, great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven, great in battle, great in wonder, great in Zion, King over all the earth.
And Lord, we thank you that you are great in power, that you are a mighty God, that you are more powerful than we can ever imagine, that you created us, that you created the world, that you breathed your spirit on us, and that you are with us now. And we worship you, we glorify you, we praise you, we thank you for who you are. Amen. Well, we're going to have the story of Pentecost now read. Carol's going to read it to us with some pictures. And I particularly want to talk to the children. I want to encourage the children to listen out really carefully for what were the two things that particularly happened in that upper room when the Holy Spirit came. What did they feel? What did they see? What did they hear? And then we'll chat about those afterwards. So let's hear our reading first of all.
Today's reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, children, I wonder whether you noticed what the two pictures, the two images of the Holy Spirit were in that story. I'll give you a clue. I brought my hairdryer along, well, not my hairdryer, my wife's hairdryer, to remind us that there was a rushing wind, a wind that came through that whole of the upper room. And not just that, but then what they saw on the disciples' heads was they saw tongues of fire. Isn't that amazing? That they just came and landed on their heads just like that. And it must have been amazing to see, mustn't it? To see the tongues of fire and to hear the winds and feel the wind in that room. And those two images, pictures of the Holy Spirit, help us to understand something of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. Because the Holy Spirit is quite difficult to understand sometimes. But the Holy Spirit really is just God coming to live inside of us. God coming to live and be with us and in us. And I wonder whether you can think of why might they have used the pictures of wind and fire to illustrate the Holy Spirit. What might wind and fire tell us something about what the Holy Spirit does? Why don't you have a chat amongst yourselves to have a think? Why those pictures? What does that tell us about the Holy Spirit? You might like to pause this and have a little chat. I think for me, I think they tell us several things. I think the idea of fire and of wind gives the idea that the Holy Spirit brings power and it helps us to have the power of God living in us to do things we couldn't do on our own. And I also love the idea of the wind. The wind is something which blows things in a direction, doesn't it? If you're a sailboat, it blows you in a particular direction. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is it helps us to follow in God's direction. It shows us where God's at work sometimes. That the Holy Spirit guides us in God's direction. There are a couple of the pictures of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Here are a couple more. One of the things that the Holy Spirit is talked about being like in the Bible too is like water. Water which refreshes and gives us life. And here's another one. Is an idea of a dove. Holy Spirit is pictured sometimes as a dove of peace, where God's Holy Spirit can give us peace when we may be scared. But I want to show you another picture, which is my picture. It's not in the Bible, but I think this would have been a good one to put in the Bible. I've got with me my daughter's comfort blankets. Here we are, all snuggly up. And one of the words, one of the names of what the Holy Spirit does in the Bible is it talks about the Holy Spirit being our comforter. One who gives us like a big hug when we might be afraid or worried about things. And I love this idea of the Holy Spirit being our comforter. Maybe when we're scared, when we're anxious, we can ask God by his Holy Spirit to wrap around us like this blanket and to give us his peace and his love and that we won't be afraid. And I know some of you children are going to school tomorrow and some of you might be really looking forward to it, but some of you might be a bit worried about it. Because actually things are going to be a bit different. You're not going to be able to see your friends as you might normally do. And actually you might be actually a bit afraid. But I want to say to you that actually God is going to go with you and he can send you his Holy Spirit to be your comforter and give you his peace and to wrap around you like this. And we're going to pray for you now. We've been praying for you the last few days, going back to school and for your teachers too. So we're going to pray for you now and pray that we would all know God's Holy Spirit. So Father God, we thank you, particularly for our children. We thank you that you send your Holy Spirit on young and old. And I want to pray particularly for the children who are going to be going back into school tomorrow, that you would be with them, that they would know your presence with them, that they would know the Holy Spirit as their comforter at this time. And for our children and for our young people too, that they would be full of the Holy Spirit to have the confidence to speak of you, the boldness to speak of you to their friends, and that you would do amazing things through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, children and young people, you're going to head off for your activities now. There's some activities for the children on the website as normal that Helen's prepared, and the youth are going to go off for their youth at Zoom with Eddie. And the rest of us are going to continue in prayer as Liz and David bring our prayers to us now. And after that, we're going to have a very special version of the Lord's Prayer.
As we turn to prayer this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of the worldwide church with this cake and candles. Lord, we thank you that your disciples who had been locked down and living in fear were completely transformed by the coming of your Holy Spirit and became bold witnesses for you. We ask you to fill our churches with that same power which is vibrant and colourful, radiating our love for you. We pray for all who have been following our services online, asking that they would feel welcome eventually to join our church family.
Lord of life and power, hear our prayer.
We pray for our government, somewhat in crisis at the moment. We bring before you those in positions of leadership, that they'll be giving wisdom, understanding, humility, and stamina as they make decisions that have far-reaching effects to millions in our country. We remember both children and their teachers who are returning to school tomorrow and pray for their protection. Please be especially close to all who are anxious in any way.
Lord of life and power, hear our prayer.
We pray for our world, especially remembering today the Ministry of Open Doors, working with Christians in many challenging circumstances, which are made even more difficult with the global epidemic. We remember those in prison and all those in overcrowded refugee camps, without the basic essentials of clean water and general hygiene, and where social distancing is impossible.
Lord of life and power, hear our prayer.
We remember, Heavenly Father, that you are our ever-present help in trouble, our fortress and our refuge. Give strength and healing to those who are sick, and courage and skill to those who care for them. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones at this time, that they may know your presence and peace. In a few moments of silence, we bring them before you.
Lord of life and power, hear our prayer. As we go into another week, calm our anxious fears, and go before us. Let's join in the Christian family prayer together.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
And forgive us our sins,
as we forgive those who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory are yours,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Well, thank you to everybody who sent in some their versions of the Lord's Prayer on video. We had more than we needed in the end, so we'll perhaps put a second version out in the coming weeks too. We're going to have a couple of bits of family news now before we turn back to sung worship. And there's, first of all, something from the Hornby Girls, who are going to tell us something of what they're going to be up to in this coming week. And then we've got some really special news from Hannah and Eddie.
Hi, everybody. It's Christy,
Lois,
and Anya.
And we are really missing you guys. I think this has been a really tough 3 months for everybody all across the nation, but we are so grateful for the NHS, for all our key workers, for the welfare state, for clean running water and sanitation.
Yeah, these have really helped slow the spread of coronavirus and help us cope with lockdown. But a lot of countries don't have this, and they don't have clean running water and sanitation either. So Tear Fund are helping by providing hand washing stations and basic sanitations to help people in poverty tackle coronavirus by slowing the spread.
So me, Christy and Lois are going to climb Kilimanjaro in lockdown by walking up our stairs 325 times a day for a week. So that means after the week we'll each have climbed the total height of Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, and we'd love you to join us with this by donating to TIFF and via our Just Giving page, which is on the church newsletter.
Yeah, so sponsorship would be amazing. And seeing as none of us have been able to go for coffee or go on holiday during this time, this is a great opportunity to use some of this money if we want to, to help TIFF and to tackle the coronavirus in some less developed countries across the world.
Thank you.
Our Just Giving page, the link to that is on the church newsletter. I think you already said, Lai.
Yeah. And if you'd like to find out more or do the Kilimanjaro challenge with us, then get in touch. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Morning, guys. We just wanted to do this video to give you a little bit of an update, because last week we got some exciting news. And no, she's not pregnant.
No, I'm not.
Definitely not pregnant, so that's not yet. Not this video. Maybe in the future, but that's not what it is. Instead, over the last 12 months or so, I've been going through what's called the discernment process, which is where you work with Worcester Diocese to discern whether you have a calling to Anglican ministry, to becoming a vicar, and to go and train to do that. And as many of you know, I'm already ordained within the Elim tradition, and so it was a case of working out whether this is something for us to do to move across denominations. And so recently I've had interviews, I've gone through what's called a candidates panel over Zoom, which was a bit interesting, a bit different. But the Bishop John called last week to say that I'd been accepted, and that Hannah and I have been accepted to go and train for that. The important thing to say is that our training date will be from September 2021, because we feel like we've got so many things that we're doing with the young people here at St Andrew's and All Saints, and so many foundations that we're laying in, that there's no way that we'd want to go, you know, this September. And so I asked if I'd be allowed to go next year in order to fulfil the 3-year contract, but to continue doing some of the things and embedding some of the things that we feel like God's doing here. And they've said yes to that, which is great. And so it's exciting for us, isn't it? We are excited to go. But it will also be, you know, with sadness that we have to move at that point to go and do training in a residential context. But we wanted to share it with you guys. We're sure that little whispers have started to get out. It's weird how rumours spread within a church, isn't it? It's strange. She's not pregnant. Definitely not pregnant. We told the young people last week, because obviously they are, for us, the most important people that we work with at church, and so we shared it with them, but we wanted to share it with you guys as well. And we wanted to share it early so that it could be something that you could join in with us with, joining this journey. And St Andrew's and All Saints has been a massive part of that journey of making us feel connected to the Anglican Church. And so we want to journey it with you guys. But also, it gives the leadership team the option to begin already planning for the future and working out exactly what's going to happen with our young people and young adults from September 21, so that we'll be really prepared for that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we wanted to share it with you. We're excited, aren't we?
Yeah, really excited.
Really excited to share it with you guys. And we can't wait to see you all soon, but we'll keep chatting on here as well. So, bye.
Bye.
Well, that's really great news for Hannah and Eddie, but we'll be sad to lose them in a year's time, but we pray for them as they prepare for this next step, and we give thanks for their new calling I also want to just say they're not the only ones who've heard this last week. James Williams has also heard that he's been accepted for ordination training, and Adam Wharton too. So we've had three people from our church in the last week who've had that news. So we give great thanks for them, and we lift them all up to God in their prayers and wish them God's blessing at this special time as they prepare for what is ahead. We're going to turn back to worship now, sung worship, as we invite our band to come and lead us in a couple of songs. And I invite you to just prepare your hearts now to be open to God, to just invite God's Spirit to come and meet with you afresh.
Sound of heaven touching us. The sound of heaven touching us.
And we continue to pray for God's Spirit to break out in our own lives, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world. Well, just before Peter comes and shares with us, I want to just introduce to Denise to you. Denise is a member of our congregation up at All Saints, who is our Malvern Cap debt coach, Christians Against Poverty, a new organisation which has been going just over a year now. And I met up with Denise this week, and I wanted to ask her just what does it mean for her in her daily life to know the Holy Spirit helping and empowering her to do what God has called her to do. And here is her answer.
To be honest, I don't know how I could do it without the Holy Spirit, which sounds a bit of a strange thing. In my natural, I can. I'm a people person. I have empathy, and I could do that quite naturally, but because of the responsibility I feel towards my clients and the care, that's not enough. And I found that just daily, you know, whenever I'm about to sort of meet them, or I know I've got a new client, it forces me to start praying and saying, you know, Lord, help, you know, how can I help the relationship build in a positive way. One of the other things that I find is I get like little sort of nudges, or Holy Spirit nudges, I would call them. They don't feel particularly spiritual, but they're like the Holy Spirit nudging me to give my client a call, or give them a text and see how they're getting on. And often they've found that really sort of supportive and encouraging. And there was a situation with one of my clients who I tried to message her a couple of times and tried to call and not heard anything. So I thought I would just pop over and see her. And this was before the lockdown. And as I got to the door, I heard her almost crying in pain. And I thought, gosh. So I knocked on the door and said who I was. And she said, oh, Denise, come in. The door's open. So I went in, and she was in, bless her, in excruciating pain. And I was able to call the paramedics and wait with her while they came out. And it was, she said afterwards that, you know, she didn't have the energy or the ability to call anyone. And she felt like it was God looking after her, which, you know, I felt grateful that I, you know, it's so easy to ignore those little nudges. But I felt really grateful that I didn't that day. Because so much of the cat work is, you know, obviously around financial conduct authority and meeting, you know, working within legislation, and you realise, you know, there's a sense of real responsibility to help our clients find the best route through. And obviously, my role is partly just to make them feel as comfortable enough and to facilitate that, and then obviously head office do the main sort of getting them debt free. But if I don't get it right at the beginning, potentially they don't carry on. And so I, you know, just really relying on the Holy Spirit to help me see things, hear what they're saying, even noticing if they have other issues that might they might have that are practical, nothing to do with their debt. And obviously with the blessings team, we've been able to support and bless many families and individuals through the CAP process beyond the debt, you know. So again, it's like a nudging, it's hearing. I honestly don't feel I could do the work without being able to turn to the Holy Spirit and say, help, give me wisdom, give me discernment, sometimes give me energy, you know, if I'm feeling tired and weary and then wanting to still give my best, being able to say, Holy Spirit, give me, you know, your kindness in this situation, give me your mercy, give me your love, all of those things empower me to do what I need to do.
Hello everybody, and great to be with you. Let me pray before we start. Heavenly Father, may you be in my words this morning, and may we be stirred and empowered afresh by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, many of you will know that we as a family have a black Labrador called Archie. You may see a picture of him there. He's not quite two, and he's our first dog as a family. So we have been learning much over the last 2 years. But Archie has completely disrupted our lives. And that's because we've never had a dog before. And Archie needs constant attention and he follows us around. And there are all sorts of ways in which he's disrupted our lives. And we have to constantly think about him in our family plans. In fact, he's disrupting our lives such that I was up at 3 o'clock this morning because he was barking, because he actually turned out he had an upset tummy and he needed to be let out into the garden. So Archie has completely disrupted our lives. And sometimes that has been positive, and sometimes, quite frankly, I've been left on my knees wondering why on earth we've got a dog. But there have been so many good things as well. He's produced so much joy for us as a family, and it's a real treasure to watch, particularly the children, interact. And I've enjoyed all the walks and the time that we spend together. But he has certainly been a disruption. Disruption, disturbance, upheaval, confusion, change, destruction, alteration, reorganization, recreation. I wonder what those words stir in you. They're words of movement. They're words of change. They're words that are dynamic. And they generate all sorts of feelings within us. Some of us will be filled with absolute dread and perhaps even exhaustion just thinking and saying some of those words. Some of those words will really excite us. It seems to me, as I look at the big story of the Bible, that throughout the Bible story, it's the times of disruption and upheaval and sometimes destruction that those are the times where the kingdom of God and God's plans are advanced. Let me give you a few examples. Think of Noah and the flood, complete destruction to restart God's creation. Think of all the chaos over the Exodus with the plagues and the journey out of Egypt. Think of the many times in which the nation of Israel turned away from God, may have even been cast out into exile, but returned to him at some point. And think of the birth of Jesus. Well, any parent, and particularly you mothers out there, will know the disruption there is in your life when you have a baby and you welcome a new life into your family. In that time of disruption of having a baby, there's all sorts of change, discomfort, invasion and pain. But also there's enormous joy and unbelievable change and joy of having a child. The nature of disruption can be both good and difficult. And we've also seen throughout history, haven't we, that when Christians are persecuted, the church seems to rediscover itself and grow and flourish. Think of your own faith journey. Think of those times when your faith has grown and matured. It will often have been in those difficult and disruptive times. I know for myself, I have so many examples of when life has been disrupted. One occasion when I went for a job interview, there was no plan B, there was only plan A. There was great expectation of getting this job and it didn't happen. And for a time, my world felt as if it had fallen apart. But it was at that moment that I pressed in and pursued and discovered new levels of trust in God. It seems to me that God's kingdom and God's plans are advanced through times of disruption. And today is Pentecost Sunday. That is what we're celebrating. And in the reading this morning, we again hear of another act of disruption by God. It was just an ordinary day. And then, boom, God turned up. And turned things upside down. In that gospel reading, we heard about the sound of a violent wind, something like tongues of fire, came. The place was filled with the Holy Spirit, and people began to speak in new and strange tongues. Can you imagine the noise and the chaos and the disruption and the bewilderment? The scripture talked about, it was so chaotic, a crowd gathered who were bewildered and utterly amazed, perplexed even, and some even mocked. But critically, that crowd went on to ask, what does this mean? People started their ordinary day in their ordinary lives, and then God turned up and turned everything upside down. We worship a God of disruption. We worship a God who disrupts. We worship a God who loves to turn things upside down to advance his kingdom. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying whatsoever that all disruption in our lives comes from God. Absolutely not. And I don't believe that the coronavirus is from God. But whether God causes the disruption in our lives or whether he doesn't, I do believe that God is right in the midst of it with us. So what? We're in a time right now of great disruption. I don't need to share that. And that disruption will have affected us in all sorts of different ways. Each of our stories, each of our circumstances are very different. But we will all have been disturbed and disrupted. And so my question this morning to you and to me is, if God uses time of disruption to advance his purposes for you and for me and for his kingdom, what is he doing in you? How are you growing in this time? How is the kingdom of God and his plans for you being shaped through the present disruption? Are we asking, like the crowds on that first Pentecost, what does this mean? On that first Pentecost, God birthed the church. What is he birthing in you? What is he birthing in us as a church community? What is he birthing in your family? What is he birthing amongst us here in Malvern? The challenge for us is, are we asking that question? And are we seeking out what God is doing? Now, disruption is generally pretty uncomfortable. Generally, it means unseating us from our comfortable place where we've settled in and we're nice and cozy. Now, settling in can be a good thing, and there can be good seasons of settling. I love settling just as much as everyone else. But there are times to settle, and the Old Testament tests of that. But it also, the Old Testament, testifies that we can become too settled. And that can lead to complacency. It can lead to us focusing on ourselves and our own comfort and our own worlds. And we lose our edge and we lose our focus on God. It becomes about us and not God. Now imagine that first Pentecost again. The disruption changed fearful and uneducated fishermen into pillars of extraordinary faith who took the good news of Jesus Christ across the known world and were prepared to die, often hideous deaths, for that good news. So where have we become too settled in our lives? Where have we settled in our journeys of faith? I'm not making a judgment on any of our particular circumstances or our own particular experiences of disruption in the season, this coronavirus season. But I do believe we should be asking the question, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to change? How do you want us to grow? How can we be changed from, like those disciples, from fearful, uneducated men into pillars of faith in our community, in our families, and in our workplaces. As lockdown eases, the risk is that we will drift back into old patterns of behaviour and thinking and lifestyles. Do we want to return to the old normal and ignore the possibilities that God is offering us? Or do we want to discern what God is doing in your life, in my life, in the life of us as a church community, in the life of our workplaces, in the life of our town? Where is God taking us into new and uncharted waters? It's one of those things I've been asking for myself. And there are small things already. There are things about my daily routine, my pace of life, my awareness of the world around me, the care of the environment, the use of my car. Those are things I don't want to lose. And there are many other questions that I've been able to also ask in this time, because quite frankly, there's been space at times. What about you? Where do we need to ask questions? But we don't do this alone. Jesus told the disciples to wait for the Holy Spirit before the going out into the world to share the good news. They couldn't do their mission without the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus himself couldn't fulfill his mission without the Holy Spirit. And we read in Luke's Gospel that he was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. He returned from the desert in the power of the Spirit, and he was anointed by the Spirit to do the work set out before him. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if the disciples need the Holy Spirit, I think that's a fair indicator that we also need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that teaches us, who comforts us, who guides us and empowers us and anoints us in the call upon our own individual lives. We need the Spirit, and the Spirit is there to embolden and lead us into those uncharted waters if we dare to invite him. This week, as most of you will know, we've been praying, "Thy kingdom come." And the core of many of my prayers for the people that I've been praying has been that those who don't yet know the love of Jesus will be disrupted by God during this season. And by being disrupted, they will come to know the Lord. Will we allow ourselves to be disrupted? Will we allow ourselves to be changed in this season? Will we ask those challenging questions and find out what the Lord is doing? I wonder what he is doing in your life at this time. Let me summarise a few of those points in there. Our God is a God who disrupts, and through disruption, God advances his kingdom and his purposes. Will you allow God to advance his purposes in your life? The disruption in our lives is not always from God, absolutely not, but God is with us always within those times of disruption, and through his Holy Spirit will lead us, comfort us, teach us and grow us. And are we going to choose to respond to the disruption we're experiencing at this time? Will we take this opportunity to grow? Hard questions. And you might want to share those questions as a family or in your life group or in your prayer partners? Why don't you ask those questions and help discern what it is that God is doing and disrupting and wanting to see change in your life? Let's for a moment go into silence and reflect, and I will pray for us. We only have a moment to ask the Lord, where's perhaps one thing in your life at the moment that you recognise where God has been stirring, disrupting, perhaps making you uncomfortable, and that perhaps he wants to reveal something to you about how you move forward in your faith. So let's close our eyes. Perhaps you'd like to open up your hands as a sign and an act of openness to what the Spirit might do. Are you prepared? Am I prepared to surrender my life to Jesus once again? Lord, reveal to each of us where we need to be disrupted. Where are you working in our lives? Help us to embrace disruption, which is often uncomfortable. Heavenly Father, help us to surrender our lives. Lord, have your way with us. And on this Pentecost Sunday, re-empower us afresh. Teach us afresh and anoint us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessings on you all this day, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
And so, Holy Spirit, come like a rushing wind. Come and direct us. Come and have your way in us. Come and disrupt us, we pray, that your kingdom may come more fully in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for our service. We hope it's been a blessing to you. And we invite you to, if you're listening to this on Sunday morning, to join us for our Zoom coffee. Details on our mailing, or email me if you'd like to know the details of that. We'd love to meet up. We're going to pray a special prayer of blessing on us live as we do that. And a final blessing to go from here. And I just invite you perhaps to close your eyes and open your hands as just a sign of your openness to God's Spirit this morning. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen. Thanks so much for being with us today, and God bless and keep safe.